Take a seat real quick, if you don't mind. We want to gather together. We want to continue in our spiritual act of worship as we've gathered together kind of to stop the noise. I don't know how your week's been. I don't know what's gone on in your life. I know I've talked to people that some of them have had Christmas already. They've had their families in. They've opened all the presents, I guess you'd say, and they've done all the Christmas stuff. And then I've talked to people that they're not going to do it for another week. Apparently, they don't know when Jesus was born on December 25th, and not that that's the actual date, but, you know, put a smile on your face. But it's been a busy week, you know, not just husbands late to get presents for their wives. My wife and I had an anniversary. My oldest son had a birthday. Yesterday, I did a funeral over in Harrodsburg for a family that needed a pastor to come over, and during the Christmas season, lost a loved one. And there's a lot going on around us. Not all of it merry and bright, but a lot of it merry and bright. A lot of it. But there's just life going on. I don't know if you've ever processed it out, but the fact of the matter is, when Mary had Jesus, nobody got all up, you know, and went out and bought Christmas presents for everybody, and Santa Claus did not show up, and nobody put a tree in the manger or in the barn that we're aware of, and they didn't decorate, and they didn't, like, make their house look good. Life was going on. Most of the world had no clue at all that the Savior of the world had been born. Nope, they weren't aware of it. Not even a little bit. Now, Mary was anticipating it. Joseph was anticipating it. And then something really happened when the angels showed up. In my head, I like to say about midnight, the angels showed up and spoke to the shepherds that were out watching their flocks by night. And then the shepherds went to see if what the angels said. I don't know why you would doubt angels showing up and going, they don't know what they're talking about. I would still be in awe of the angels showing up. But they went to see if they could find Mary and see this baby that the angel had told them about. And I wonder what it was like for shepherds walking into the barn. I mean, yeah, they came in. Yeah, we could talk about the animals. We could talk about all kinds of things. I just wonder what it was like. Was it like getting coffee at the coffee truck at the Christmas Eve service? Did you just get in a line and you had to wait to see the baby Jesus one at a time? Did people follow the shepherds? On their way into Jerusalem, did they say, hey, we're going to see this thing. These angels showed up. You got to come with us. Just come. And we don't have time to tell you about it. Just come. Did some angels, one or two, just walk in, get near the baby, and just be in awe that this is what Isaiah spoke of hundreds of years earlier? What was it like? The culture they were living in was one of oppression. The reason they were in Bethlehem was a reason of oppression. The enemy, so to speak, wanted them counted, wanted to know how many of them there were. And so they had to go back to the what they considered the city of their family. What would be the city of your family today if we said, hey, everybody's got to go back on Christmas to the city of your family? And actually, if it would be the male children of the household that would define that. Where was your father born? You got to go back to that city. They went back to Bethlehem. And these people were struggling over a Roman occupancy. There's no reason not to believe that the Roman soldiers were not walking the streets of Bethlehem as much as they were walking around in Jerusalem, that they were watching over these people to see what was going on. Every once in a while, there was an insurrection that kind of rose up and they would have to put it down. That's just the way it is. It's written in the New Testament of your Bible. It's there. In those days, the faithful Jews struggled against the Roman occupancy, but the Hellenistic Jews that decided, hey, it was okay to become a little more like the Romans, they thrived. They started businesses, they did things, they were you know, moving forward. They embraced the Romans and some of their culture. At the time of Jesus' birth, there's what's referred to theologically as a drought of hearing from the Lord. It'd been too long since a prophet rose up and said, this is what's going on. This is what God says. Listen to the Lord. From Malachi to Matthew, it's understood that there's about 400 years. In the midst of that 400 years, there was no real prophet that could be there. And there was a lot of oppression going on. Amos says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." He went on to say, "People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it." See, the prophet Amos said, this is coming. This time period is coming where we get desperate for God. And sometimes I do think that it takes a little bit of the Lord allowing the world to attack us, to persecute us, to come against us as the church and as Christians, for us to wake up and say, "God, what are we supposed to be doing? We're certainly not supposed to be hiding." And so God said, "Well, there's going to be a time come where you're not going to hear from me, and you're going to wish you could. And you're going to wander around looking for me." What was it John said? The people in darkness? They're in darkness. There's no word from the Lord. They're wandering in darkness. They're wondering, "Where is God? Come on, God. You said you loved us. You called us your own people. You selected us out of all the people. Our grandfather Abraham, you selected him from all the people of the world back in the day. Where are you?" And that was the world that they were living in back then. How are you doing this Christmas? Everything doesn't have to be morose. Everything doesn't have to be sad. But do you ever find yourself in that place where you're saying, "God, where are you?" I do. I read the words of Jesus, and there are times when I say, "Lord, when will this happen? When is this going to come? God, we're waiting." We've gotten a prophetic word personally for me for this church that I've been waiting on for 15 years. And it's like, "God, when is it going to happen?" And it just so happened that a couple of thousand years ago, on that night, it happened. Just like that. But it didn't happen in a way that people expected it. It happened in the way that Jesus wanted it, that God wanted it to happen. And he orchestrated that, and as a result of that, we have all kinds of Christmas shows and Christmas activities and Christmas programs and Christmas things. But it is. But when I think about where is the God who loves us, I keep hearing the Lord say this when he launched his ministry. This is way past Christmas. This is Jesus being 30-some years old, speaking to the people in his region, in Galilee, in Judea, but also to you and I. And he said, the scripture says, "At that time Matthew said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children.'" You didn't pick the best of the best of the best of the world, the smartest people, the wise men. No, Lord, you picked the shepherds. You picked the commoner. You picked the down and out. You picked the downtrodden. You picked the suffering. You picked the weak. You picked the people that were crying out. Verse 26 says, "Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father," Jesus said. "No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And then he said this thing that he said over and over and over and over and over again for 3 years. And I do believe that it is still the message for you and I today. I believe that this is the message we take home, not because it's Christmas. It's the message we take home because he is the Christ. Because he is Jesus, this is the message. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Come to me and I will give you rest." You know, since the first Sunday of December, I've been preaching and trying to encourage those of you that call this church home, and those of you that are visiting now, I'll include you in this message right here. I've been trying to encourage you to say no. I've been trying to encourage you to slow down. I've been trying to encourage you to intentionally take time. and not let the world dictate to you that you have to go in debt to have Christmas, that you have to hit every Christmas event in your family, that you have to hit every party, that you have to be running 100 miles an hour, that you have to go shopping, that you don't. Jesus said when you get to that place where it just starts to be a burden, you've got to ask yourself, did you hear what the Lord say when he said, come to me, all you who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. And so I just would invite you to consider that in your life, not just in your Christmas experience, because Jesus isn't just for the 25th of December. I got to preach the gospel yesterday at a funeral. I didn't know the person who passed away very well at all. But it didn't mean I couldn't talk about the God that she met Wednesday a week ago. And he loves you. And he came as a baby so that he could say to you, come to me. That's his message over and over again. When your job gets to be too much, when your marriage feels like a pressure cooker rather than a picnic on the lawn, that's the Lord saying to you, come to me. Come away from things and spend time with me, and I will give you rest, peace, quiet. Turn the radio off. We don't need to hear Jesus culture. I love Jesus culture. Just turn the music off. It's okay to be alone with God. Somebody once said that we're afraid of the quiet in America because we don't know what to do with it. Because we stopped understanding how to do nothing but be in the presence of God. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And what that means is take the burden of religion and understand what I'm trying to get across to you. Because religious people have put something on you that I did not do. That's what that yoke means. That yoke is the teaching and the understanding of the scribes and the Pharisees. That's what he's getting across. He's saying, take my yoke, take my understanding of 613 commandments and what it means to live with God, because it should be easy and you should find rest in it. You should find peace. Take my yoke upon me. And learn from me. Don't just take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Come to me. Be with me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find, here it is again, rest for your souls. Rest. Rest for your soul. Not rest from your body. Not rest. Rest for that dry place inside of you when you're like, God, you've got to do something. Not rest that says, Lord, just destroy this political party that's in power. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with our soul inside of us that is relating to the world and is getting too caught up in it. And we need to find rest for our souls. We need to learn from him. He says, because my yoke, my understanding, my teaching, my Sunday school lessons are easy and my burden is light. You see, I see the baby Jesus in the manger and I hear God saying to you and I, come to you, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I see Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee and I hear God saying, come to me, all you who weary, and I will give you rest. I see Jesus coming down a mountain to meet a desperate father whose son is possessed by a demon, a real demon, not Hollywood, but a demon that throws him into the water to drown him, a demon that throws him into the fire to burn him. I cannot imagine what this child looked like. But he cries out to Jesus and says, if you can. And Jesus says, if I can. And I hear Jesus saying to that father, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I see a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. Her menstrual cycle would not quit. I cannot imagine the anemia that she lived with on a daily basis. A man whose father died, and he told Jesus, "You don't have to come. My daughter died." And Jesus said, "Come to me. Trust me. And see what I do." I see a friend who is mortally sick, and Jesus says, "Let's wait a couple of days." And Lazarus dies. I see fishermen wanting purpose. I see blind men wanting to see. I see demon-possessed people wanting to be free. I see hungry people who just want food. I see lonely people who just want love and community and so much more. When we think about coming to the manger like the shepherds did, I see a God who sees you. He sees you in your truck. He sees you at work. He sees you in the pile of laundry. He sees you making dinner. He sees you trying to earn a family to pay the bills at home. He sees you trying to make a decision because the car is breaking down and is it time to get another one and you don't know if you can. I walk up to that manger and I see a God who sees you and says to you, "Come to me. Come to me. Are you broken? Come to me and trust in me." I see a God that at times convicts us because there's things we need to come away from. I see a God that you can't earn the favor of because he loves you so much and he's not repulsed by you. And I hear him say, as we come to the manger with our hurts, with our pain, maybe with the abuse that's taken place in our lives to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So tonight we've gathered together to be quiet. And in just a second, we're going to light these candles that we're holding, and we're going to do our best not to light the hair of the person in front of us on fire, where they have to run to the manger to find healing, although we believe in that. But as you hold that, and as we sing traditional songs, while we're holding this candle, allow your soul to talk to Jesus as if he's right there in the manger, but he understands you like a theologian, not a baby. And it's okay to cry to him and say, "Lord, would you heal me? Lord, if you can, Lord, would you be here?" Or as we've done through the last fall, "God, show me your glory. I just want to see your glory." Because Christmas is a time of hearing from God, to hear that he recognizes that you're tired. He recognizes your need for forgiveness. And hear him challenge you to stop life and just be. Listen to God tonight when we light these candles. Say, "Come to me. Come to me."